Good afternoon. We ready to kick off this session? It's our last session of the School for Successful Ranching. We're sure glad you're all here. Thank you again for participating in our program and being here today. If you do have a ticket for tonight's dinner dance, it's going to be down in the ballrooms, which is all the way at the end of this hallway, so we sure hope that you can join us for that. Sponsors of the School for Successful Ranching, you can probably repeat it back to me by now because you've heard it several times, but we want to thank them for their continued support. We've got Lone Star Ag Credit, Merck Animal Health, Stay Tough Fence Manufacturing, Dow AgriSciences, Bayer, Capital Farm Credit, Texas Beef Quality Assurance, Micro Technologies, Texas Range Minerals, Rabo AgriFinance, Diacero. So we want to thank all of our sponsors for participating. And I'm sorry, but our guy ran off with your bio. And so our speaker that we have today is Terrell Miller with CattleMax. It's a real treat. This is one of our most popular programs that we have at the Cattle Raisers Convention, as well as he comes and does some Ranching 101 programs for us. And Terrell and Penny are big supporters of TSCRA, great partners of TSCRA. We really appreciate that. And I think you're in for a real treat as we wrap up the School for Successful Ranching. And with that, I'll go ahead and turn it over to Terrell.
The microphone on. All right, everybody hear me okay? We're good. All right, we're get my wand. All right. I know these are all worked out now because a couple years ago, first session, we all had these remotes in all these rooms, and so I would click my slide forward and advance those guys and advance them, and they'd advance theirs back, and it was such a chaotic deal, but that was kind of a fun thing. So I know all that's worked out now, but that's fun, so. Anyway, this afternoon we're going to talk a little bit about record keeping, which is something really fun to talk about after all of us ranchers have been cooped up indoors in the city for the last few days. So I want to kind of keep it fun, kind of keep it light. We're here for an hour, and the way that I lay out my presentations is so that I allow plenty of time for questions. And part of that is not just remembering your questions and waiting till the Q&A at the end, but rather, when you've got a question on something that we're on, go ahead and raise your hand. It's not an interruption. It's, you know, we're all here to learn. And you know, odds are, if it's a question you have, it's probably something somebody else does. If it's a little bit detailed, then you may say, hey, look, I'll catch you afterwards. But certainly encourage those questions along the way. Again, that's how we all learn. A little bit about me. My name is Terrell Miller. My wife and I started our company, CattleSoft, back in 1999. So we've been helping farmers and ranchers manage their herd for, gosh, almost 20 years now. We're actually headquartered in Bryan College Station, Texas. But if you've been by our booth down in the trade show this weekend, you may have seen some of our other team members. And we all are ranchers. We all raise cattle ourselves, so we all work remotely. Jimmy Curtis from DeKalb, Texas, is with us. And also our international visitor, Juliana, is with us from Wisconsin. I kept trying to tell her, I said, you know, Juliana, you can get these really neat ribbons. I know you're not a member of TSCRA since you're in Wisconsin, but you can at least get the international ribbon and put it at the bottom. I kept encouraging her on that, and she never would go for it. So we all are, rancher-based, so one of the things that really is unique about CattleMax is that since we all raise cattle too, we're working with CattleMax in our own herds. When our folks get off of work, they're going out in the pasture, entering records into CattleMax just like you all. So we've learned a lot over the years when it comes to record keeping, what works in our own herds, but also what works in the herds of customers in over 70 countries. Along the way, we've also begun working with some different industry partners. And we found that you really can't keep good records if your cattle are not identified. So several years ago, we began working with Offlex on the animal identification side. And whether that's something as simple as making sure that you're going to get a tag that has the number you want, that's not a duplicate tag number, that has the information you need. Making it easy to identify your animals so that you can start managing them. Also, we've worked some with TrueTest over the years. We're currently we're a distributor for them. We help producers get weights into software. Because odds are, if you're a registered breeder, your customers are selling their cattle by the pound. And if you're a commercial breeder, you're selling your cattle by the pound. So regardless of the type of operation you're in, if you're in the beef cattle industry, weights are something that's important. And so that's kind of how we sort of bring all that together. This is a neat little comic I had drawn up a few years ago. And I know you all, many of y'all, if not everybody in here, is a Cattle Raisers member. You may have seen this illustration in the January issue on record keeping. But this is a fun thing. You know, a lot of folks think of tablets as a foreign concept for record keeping. But we've really been using tablets to keep track of our animals, you know, since the caveman. And here's the caveman with the stone tablet. And here's the cowboy with the note tablet. And then here's the couple with their digital tablets. You know, but we've been keeping track of our animals on tablets since the beginning of time. And it's always been important to keep track of those records. And as time goes on, the technology obviously changes. Fortunately, the technology more than keeps up with the amount of records that we're all having to keep track of. I go back and look at my grandfather when he had his cattle after the war, and you know, BQA and EPDs and adjusted weaning weights, that would be a foreign concept to him. But now we have to, we all keep up with that type of information. But fortunately, having good record keeping systems, paper, spreadsheet, or software really can help you do that. And that's really one of the things I have a 6-year-old and a 9-year-old, and their most popular question is why. And so I like to always take that into account, even in my presentations, because why is a really good question. Why should you keep good records in this case? And not just because you're told to, but really what are the specifics? Why do you keep records? One of the big reasons is to obviously learn which cattle are productive. That way you're going to know which animals are really contributing to the growth and the moving forward of your herd, which animals are contributing to the profitability. Likewise, you also want to know animals that are potential candidates for culling, either because maybe those cows are getting a little bit older, maybe because they're not producing, maybe because they're not carrying their own weight. It's important to know, not just who your good cattle are, but also who your lower end of cattle. So that's something that having a good record-keeping system can help you identify. Kind of gone are the days of going out and seeing a couple calves running around and there's a dink calf in the group and wondering, well, where does this calf belong to? That's kind of where having that good record-keeping system can help out. Another benefit that we've seen, with record-keeping is really to show that you are in business. We all enjoy raising cattle ourselves. It's a lifestyle that we share. And the one that we enjoy passing on and sharing with our family. But at the end of the day, ranching is a business. It's a business for all of us to some degree or another. And so being able to have a set of records demonstrates that you are ranching as a business. And that shows in the case of an IRS or an audit type situation, when you can produce records saying, may not have made any money last year, but here's my record showing, here's what my purchases, my sales, my income, my expenses, here's what we did. Also, if you happen to be where you are working with loan officers through some of these farm credits, farm credit banks, they're going to want to make sure that, what are you doing with your animals, and are you going to be able to repay the loan you're taking out if you're buying cattle? So being able to show that you're running a business for those financial situations can really go a long ways. And along the lines of the business and the accounting side, is you want to make sure that you're keeping track of information within your records that can help you when it comes time to tax preparation. That's going to be purchases, sales, income, expenses, but also your animal types, because many of you should know, when you work with your accountant and you say, well, I sold these 10 cows, the first question is going to be, well, were they raised or were they purchased? Because they're treated differently for depreciation. So it's not just a matter of saving all your receipts from the sale barn, but rather it's knowing which animals were sold and were they raised or purchased. So all of that kind of comes in. And I have a few quotes sprinkled throughout. This is one of my favorite quotes, and you've probably seen it used and abused at least several times already this weekend. But a great management professor, Peter Drucker, said years ago, "You can't manage what you can't measure." And that's sort of the highlight of why you need to keep good records, because you can't manage it if you're not measuring and collecting that data. Any questions so far? All right, we're doing good then. That's the thing is, after several days of sitting in these classes, you all are, you know, cattle college PhDs just about. And when we talk about records, you know, to keep track of, it's not just keeping cattle records. But I like to be specific. And we talked about the why should we keep records. Now we're going to talk about what kind of records to keep track of. And there's several different records. And one thing I want to make sure I mention is that record keeping is a lot like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. You know, we all remember the nursery rhyme, and you know, one soup was too hot, one was too cold, and one was just right. You know, one chair was too small, one was too big, one was just right. And record keeping is the same way. There's not a single list of here are the records everybody needs to keep. So what we're going to talk about a little bit in the records is here are a few types of records you can keep track of. And when you have these different type of records, you need to decide, is this something relevant to my operation? Is this something relevant to me achieving my management goals? And that way, that prevents you from collecting a lot of data that you really don't need. So that's kind of my little disclaimer. We'll talk about the types of records, but don't feel like you need to keep all of this information unless it's relevant to your goals. And we'll talk about those goals in just a minute when it gets to reporting. The first area is going to be, and this is something that just about everybody's going to need, and that's going to be your production records. That's going to be your cattle inventories, breeding, pregnancy, and calving. The production records, those inventories are just absolutely critical. You need to know how many animals you have. And whether that's I have 10 cows, 5 replacement heifers, and so forth, or in an ideal, in a way that really most of us should be doing is an inventory of, okay, cow one was born, or at least she's a 10-year-old cow, or she was born at this age, you know, this date, purchased animals, raised, you know, some of those details on those that inventory on those individual animals. The next thing we talk about is breeding information. And just a show of hands in here, how many of you are registered in here, registered operations? A couple. Most everybody else is commercial in here. So if you're a registered operation, you're going to probably have AI dates, maybe embryo transfer, implant dates, that type thing. But if you're like most everybody in here that's a commercial producer, the extent of your breeding records may just be I turned the bull or bulls in on this date and I pulled them on that date. But just having that breeding season alone can get you a long ways. So when we talk about breeding records, it may be that this cow had a breeding on this date, an AI or an ET, or it may just be this pasture had bulls during this time period. But you know, it's really important to have that time period. There's a lot of small producers out here in the country. We work with a lot of small producers. And the challenge there, I know we've been there ourselves, is having a controlled breeding season, where your bulls are only around the cows for a certain period of time. So if you are able to have a controlled breeding season where you pull your bulls, you'll find that that will help you get a lot more useful management information. But if you're a small herd on a smaller tract of land, that just may not be realistic, and that's okay. I mean, you kind of work with the situation you're in. But regardless, is you want to make sure you have those breeding dates when you start thinking about production records. The next thing will be pregnancy testing. Pregnancy testing on your animals, I mean, it's a great idea. It can pay for itself. However, it's not a requirement. I mean, you're going to eventually find out in 9 or 10 months if that cow was bred or not. But you know, if you can pregnancy test along the way, that will really help you, you know, not only know that this cow is open, I'm not going to carry her through the winter or through the season. Or, you know, if she's pregnant, you can know how far along she is. So that's something that can help. And then finally, the calving information is really where it all starts to come in together, knowing how many cows ended up calving. Something also that's really helpful is not just knowing, you know, when cows calve, but a calving distribution, you know, where you can say, okay, in my first 21 days, this is how many calves were born, and then my next 21 days, and so forth. So being able to know that, okay, my first calf was born here, so my calving season started, and then here are my different calving periods. That can kind of help you give you an idea of which cows are calving earlier on in the calving season. And that way, you know, they'll hopefully be weaning a heavier calf than the one that was born way at the end of the calving season. But that's the kind of information that when you have those, the breeding date and you have a calving date, that you can start graphs and reports and at least get an idea of really where your herd's performing on that. One of the things that's really helpful too at the end of the day is knowing things like, you know, what's your calving percentage? How many cows were exposed? How many were pregnancy tested? How many ended up calving? And that can kind of help you out there too. We have a really neat feature we're working on in our CattleMax software now called a production analysis tool. And that's something that kind of gives you an idea of how did my herd do this year, and so that you can compare it to previous years. Similar to some of the SPA measures, how many of you all heard Stan talk a few earlier today on some of the performance? Stan Beavers, was he? Okay, a couple of y'all have heard Stan over the years. He talks about a lot of those measures. And to calculate those measures, you're going to need that some of that production data. Another record area to keep track of that you may or may not need to would be the performance records. Performance records could be something as simple as just a weaning weight or a sale weight. Sometimes small operations are not able to weigh cattle on the farm, so they may use a sale weight from the sale barn. You have to worry about shrink and all, but at least having a weight on those calves is something that you can tie back to your cow herd and know how those calves are, how the calves did, and therefore how their cows did. So performance records would be weights. Another performance record, something that everybody in this room should be able to do, is body condition score their cows. Going into breeding season, the end of breeding season. For those that aren't familiar, body condition score is a visual appraisal where you look at a cow in the pasture and you visually score her. There are some great resources online. I know that Cattle Raisers has some on their websites. It's also a Google search away, showing you this is what a body condition 6 looks like, and here's what a 7. But being able to even, you know, body condition score your cows doesn't require any equipment, doesn't require any computers or gadgets. It just requires you to look at that animal, and you can, you know, keep an eye on those body condition scores throughout the breeding season, throughout calving, after the calves are born. So that's what we'd call a performance record. And another example of a performance record would be something like carcass data. And carcass data is one of those things that I see a lot where new producers come in and they see here all this carcass data and they want to know how they can get carcass data and how they can collect it and what to do with it. But depending on your type of operation and also how you market your cattle, you may or may not have carcass data. If you're just selling your cattle at the sale barn, you're probably not going to have carcass data. But if you're participating in some type of value-added marketing program, if you're doing retained ownership or something like that, then you may end up having carcass data to keep track of. So that's just something that's going to vary. That kind of gets back to the Goldilocks and the Three Bears, where somebody may really need to keep carcass data and somebody else may not know what to do with it or may not even have it. So that's kind of where it's more about figuring out what's important to you in your operation. Another area of records that you want to think about, and this is just very critical, would be your health records. And health records, I really like to group those into several different things, but there's your standard herd health program that hopefully you and your veterinarian have established. In the spring, I'm going to do this. At the fall, I'm going to do that. At weaning, I do that. You just have this standard health protocol, and all the animals are going to receive that protocol. So in something like that, it's more a matter of knowing, you know, what treatments, what medications you gave to the animals on that date. Just standard herd health. That's good to keep track of. Particularly when you get into treatments that may have withdrawal dates and also that may require booster dates. Another type of health treatment that you'll have would be what I call curative treatments. You've got a cow that gets sick and maybe she gets poked in the eye and you're having to treat that eye. Maybe she's got something, some kind of respiratory issue that you have to treat. So that's not necessarily part of your standard herd health, but that may be a treatment that this one cow or these few calves need, or maybe it's a new animal. And so keeping track of not just treatments that the whole herd receives, but also those treatments that individual animals receive for particular purposes, whether because they're sick, maybe it's a reproductive thing that they're needing, maybe it's a sinking for AI. So it's really important, regardless of what those herd health records are, that you keep track of them. I assume everybody in here is familiar with BQA. I'm curious if anybody's participating in beef quality assurance or keeping track of that type of information. Got a few in here. All right. A few, and someone got to get some more folks in the BQA program. BQA, or Beef Quality Assurance, is a set of practices and procedures and information you can keep track of. And so that's something that kind of carries over into the health. You know, keeping track of the medications, the manufacturers, the lot numbers, expiration date, that type thing. So some producers who do participate in the BQA programs are going to need to keep track of that type of information. Finally, an area that you really don't think about as a health record, but it is a health record, would be pasture movements. And the reason that pasture movements are a health record is that you want to know which animals were exposed together at the same time. You want to know, where was this cow at 6 months ago? What pasture was she in? So being able to keep track of that for movement and traceability type purposes. So it's good not just to know where the cow is, but also to know where she has been and when she was moved. So that tends to fall in under a health record. Other type of record, and it's kind of a whole other area we get into, would be the financial and tax records. We touched on that a moment ago with the purchases and sales. You know, purchases when you're buying new animals. Sales would be whether you're selling your calves as just part of your normal operations, or whether that's selling cows that either for culling reasons or you're in the business of selling replacement heifers or seed stock. But keeping track of those purchases and sales, knowing when those sold cows were raised or purchased. Secondly, the death loss. I mean, that's the same thing. Animals leaving the herd, whether they were raised or purchased, keeping track of those details. And finally, an income or an expenses. And the income and expenses beyond just the cattle. It may be buying or selling hay. Maybe there's other, you know, fence building, you know, that type of work you've had done on the ranch, and making sure that that information gets communicated to your accountant, your CPA, so they can get on the depreciation schedule and also as your deductions. So you want to make sure you can keep all those records. And finally, for those of you that are seed stock producers, and we could go on for an hour about this, and we're not. We're going to keep it about 30 seconds. But as a seed stock producer, you have a tremendous amount of record keeping you're having to do for your breed association and for your customers. And so if you are in that registered business, making sure that you're having those weights and that performance data that gets communicated to your association so you have EPDs. There's also keeping up with semen and embryos, customer data, that type. So as you can see, we have cattle records, but there, and we drill down, there's several different areas, and each one you can kind of really get down into. So, had a question. Yes, sir. That's a good question. So, you know, how do you get data to the associations? And each breed association is a little bit different, but generally the associations are going to want, you know, when you register the animal, they're going to want birth date, sire and dam, and those details, birth weight. And then at weaning, you're going to submit in just the actual weaning weight. And then the breed associations do the computing. They calculate the adjusted 205-day weaning weight, the ratios, contemporary groups. They also use all of that data to calculate your EPDs. So the breeder themselves does not calculate the EPDs, but rather you take some of your data comes out of your record system to the association, and they calculate that and send it back to you. And some associations, most of them have an online form where you can fill it out. Others have a paper form that you handwrite. Those using software like CattleMax, generally there's an interface where I've already entered my data in my herd management software. How can I, with one or two clicks, send that data to my association without the double entry? And so there's a process for doing that too. The interesting thing about breed associations, and we have customers all over the world, is when we look in other countries, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, and the European Union, is they've all pretty well standardized on registry systems. But every breed association here in the U.S. seems to be doing their own thing in their own way, and they're all unique. So it's a little bit of a cat and mouse keeping up game. Does that answer your question, though, as far as getting that out? Okay, great. And if I had to give away a little plastic cow, there I'd give you one for asking the first question, or a Yeti or something like that. Of course, a Yeti would be good use. Any other questions on the types of records? And I've only sort of touched the surface, but I at least wanted to give everybody something to be thinking on, talking on. So. Yes, sir. That's a good question on the DNA. And DNA is something that's, It's been more commonly used in registered operations, and just within the last couple years, it's starting to be picked up more in commercial. Are you commercial or registered? Commercial, okay. We had a good visit this afternoon with folks at GeneSeq, and we're all trying to talk on ways of, you know, what's the best way not just to take the raw data and put it into a software program, but rather how can you get more out of that data? And they've done some really neat things on the scoring, and that's something we're actually working on this spring, is a way of not just bringing the data in, but they do some fascinating things that we're looking to recreate as far as the creating of indexes. So you may have 10 or 20 different markers, and you don't want to sort by just one. You want to kind of index them together. So that's something that we're actively working on. And it's fascinating, too, if you talk to any of the genetics, the genomics companies, and what they're working on. You know, the registered business, it has its own thing, but as far as the practical application for commercial producers and taking that data, and I've got a Brahmin cross here, a Simbra here, a Brangus here, and being able to have numbers in data that you can use to kind of compare how each of these animals is within the herd. So it's a really good question. We're kind of in the early stages of that, but there's some fascinating opportunities right around the corner on that. So. Any other questions? All right. Okay. Talk a little bit now. So we've talked about why do we need to keep records. We've talked about the type of records. And so now we'll talk briefly on some of the investment of what kind of investment are you making in a record-keeping system. So what's it going to cost me? Not just in money, but much more so in time. And there are several different components to the investment side of a record-keeping system. I mean, there's obviously the money. The money is going to be the hardware you have. We all pretty well have, you know, iPhones or Androids or a laptop. We all have some kind of device out there. So fortunately, you wouldn't necessarily need a new device there. Most of us have our cattle tagged. So your cattle are already tagged. There's not a real significant cost there. Some folks do look to implement RFID, or the electronic animal ID tags. So you have a little bit of cost there. But you're going to have your cost in whatever software program you're using or notebooks. Whether it's notebooks, whether it's Excel, or whether it's a software like CattleMax, you have a cost in there. But all of those are pretty small. I mean, with the exception of the electronic ID reader, it's a pretty insignificant amount of money when it comes to how much you're going to have to spend on getting set up with good record keeping. But the real cost is going to come in just in time. So that time is going to be, and the hard work is always this first step here. This is where folks get a little bit intimidated, and that's during the setup time. Because what happens in the setup time is you're going through your records, the slips of papers, looking on the back of the feed sacks, getting records off the truck dashboard, the shoebox in the top closet that says Cal Records 2016, having to go through that box. And there's a lot of time that's spent in organizing that information and getting it input into however you're going to keep your records. And one of the things that I always encourage producers and kind of a heads up is, okay, when you're going to make the commitment to keeping records and you're going to organize what you have on paper and get those on the computer somehow, is to recognize that you're going to have to kind of push through that depending on how far you go back in your records, because you really aren't able to start using your record keeping system and generating reports until that information is organized and input into a system. So that makes sense. So it's kind of folks will see, you know, I've been spending the last, you know, week or last few evenings inputting my data in, and I still haven't been able to run my reports yet. You know, well, let's go ahead and kind of keep pushing through and get that setup done. Because one of the great things that you get into after you've done that setup, you know, which may take 30 minutes, it may take, you know, a couple afternoons, is that you transition into the update time. And the update time is one that, if you manage everything just right with your record-keeping system and you do it as it happens, it's generally not too bad. And we've got some operations that we work with that have thousands of animals and a full-time record keeper. But most of our folks that we work with, 20, 30, 40 cows. And it's something as simple as, okay, well, today I went in and turned in the bulls. It takes a minute to do. A couple weeks later, you know, it may be I went out and treated my animals, or maybe it's a recording a pasture movement. But the update time is generally pretty minor when it comes to keeping your records up to date, because you want to do that as it happens. One of the ways that we found producers would struggle with record keeping and kind of fall off the wagon was when they had a lot of paper worksheets. And they'd have these paper worksheets and they would fill them out, or they'd make their notes and they'd put it in a stack, a little inbox. And that stack would continue to rise and rise and rise. And when that started happening, the chances of getting your records turned around would go downhill quickly. So we always encourage producers that when you are keeping your records, enter it as it happens. Whether that's out in the pasture and you break out your phone. And by the way, I did get the text that y'all were asking about on the price. But breaking out your phone, making a note as it happens, that's great. That way when you get back to the house, your record keeping is done. Rather than having to remember, oh, I'm going to go enter it, and I'll do my record keeping on Sunday. Just enter it as it happens when you're doing those tasks. And the update time can really be reduced, and you can ensure that you succeed better by being timely in updating that. Another thing, too, is that when you work with like a lot of cattle management software programs tend to have features in them that are designed around the cow-calf production cycle. They're designed for efficiency. So, for example, if you go into a particular pasture and you're giving 30 animals your standard herd health treatment, you just check the animals, check all these animals that you want to update, and you can group update them at one time, where you enter in the details one time and it adds that treatment, that pasture movement, that pregnancy status for all the animals selected. So that way you benefit from having each animal has its own individual detail, but you're not having to enter the same thing over and over. And that's another one of the key things to succeeding with record keeping is trying to be as efficient as you can with time. And we'd all rather spend time out in the pasture with the cattle instead of behind a computer. So I always encourage producers, when you are doing record keeping, if you find yourself having to enter the same thing over and over and over, you need to stop and figure out, okay, what's going on? Is there something with my record-keeping system that's making me do these repetitive data entries? And it may be a matter of your system doesn't support some of this time saving, or it may be that you're not quite sure how to do that. Now, I know that it's always fun at these trade shows when folks will come up and say, well, is there a faster way to do this? And we can kind of show them and go, that's going to save me 10 minutes a day out of the record-keeping. So, always trying to find ways to avoid entering the same piece of information over and over. So that update time, again, the money we said is not really a significant investment unless you are getting into scales or RFID. But just basic record keeping, though, that doesn't cost you much on the money side. The setup can take a little bit of time depending on how your existing records are set up. It may be a lot more organization and assembly and trying to read handwriting. And then the update time, so long as you keep it up to date and not let yourself get behind, it's generally pretty minor. And now, so we've talked about the investment, but there are some significant returns in the record-keeping system. And you heard me talk about two of the three points above were setup time and investing time, and then the irony is not lost in the number one return is saving time. But you really can start to save time in a record-keeping system as it goes on. Perfect example that we've seen, talked to a lot of folks about lately, was we've all been getting ready recently, and many of us have finished getting ready for taxes. But when it comes time to taxes, the way my wife and her family did that years ago was that they would go grab the shoebox off the top of the closet in the hall and start digging through the receipts and spend a while trying to figure out, okay, this is an income, this is an expense, sold cow, and just kind of organizing all those receipts. Whereas if you have your information inputted into some type of record keeping system, that should be able to be accessed with just clicking a button, single button. And for example, in our CattleMax, we have what we call an end of year organizer. You go to this particular screen and you pick your year, 2017, we just finished up. And then there's a button to download a PDF. And that PDF has a bundle of, these are all my purchased cows last year. These are all my sold. These sold were raised. These sold were purchased. The death loss, the income, the expenses, all of that information organized in one file that you're ready to give your accountant. So you can literally have the information your accountant needs in a matter of seconds Since you've been spending time throughout the year entering it in your system, it's easy to retrieve when you need it. And the thing you'll find, too, about saving time is when you make it easy on yourself by doing the hard work of getting that information entered one time, you're going to find yourself using that information a lot more, whether that's getting that information out for tax use, for management use, or just generally looking things up. So once you have your information organized, it's really easy to save a lot of time in getting it back out. We'll talk a little more about spreadsheets in a minute, but that's kind of one of my biggest complaints against spreadsheets is you spend a lot of time getting the data in there, and depending on the spreadsheet, it can be difficult to get that information out easily. When you start having to do copy and paste and VLOOKUPs and all that kind of stuff, you know, it kind of goes downhill in a hurry when it comes to spreadsheets. But another one of the returns is better organization. And it's interesting, you know, when you tend to have, we have a lot of smaller herds that use our software. And so there's only so much time you can save somebody with 15 or 20 cows. I mean, a couple hours a year more than pays for software. But one of the biggest benefits that we've found, particularly in small herds, is a better organization. In that way, rather than having your sale receipts in the shoebox in the hall closet and production records in the little red calving book that's in your pocket and the latest preg check results on the dashboard, instead of having all that information thrown around everywhere, is you have it all in one place. Not only is it in one place, but it's in a manner that others on the ranch have access to it. You know, we've heard horror stories over the years of folks, well, the cowboy went out of town and he had the records with him, the records notebook with him. Or he's in town at the sale barn and we need to know who the sire of this calf is. So kind of get into some challenges when you have your records strewn out in multiple places. So being able to organize everything in one place is a huge stress reliever. And also just really makes it easier regardless of your herd size. Another thing will be quality and accuracy. This is something that we've found that, you know, when you do have your records organized and up to date in one place, it helps ensure that your records are more accurate and that you have better quality information. You know, one of the challenges that we found with one of our early customers is they would duplicate the number part of the tag. So you could have two cow 100s. But they would distinguish the cow 100s by the ear tag color. Well, that's 100 yellow, and that's 100 green, that's 100 blue. And it makes sense, I guess. I mean, they can have those tag numbers the way they need them. But the problem was that their cowboy was colorblind. So when you get that, and you take a colorblind cowboy, and then you have a fading over time, and that yellow, is that a yellow or a white or a green? And it gets a little bit complicated. And so they would frequently run into accuracy issues with their records because there's no way this cow had a calf because she shows she had one 3 weeks ago. Well, that was 100. Was that the yellow or the white one or the green one? So, you know, having those records organized in one place, up to date, helps ensure you don't have those kind of issues. Because if you try to enter in a calf, it's your record keeping system is going to say, well, wait, we just had this. She had a calf a couple weeks ago. So you can kind of catch those errors. And that sort of ties into the understood by others. You know, I've been on some of these larger operations in South Texas, and you start to see some of these record-keeping systems and the shorthand that's used and the handwriting that's hard to understand. And it's not something that a layman could easily just pick up a report or a list and understand what's going on, particularly when you get stuff written out to the side and up the side of the page. You know, you want to make sure that your information is accurate and up to date and organized in one place, but also that it's easily understood by others. And so that's something that you really want to keep in mind of having those records there. Another one is going to be marketing. With most folks in here being commercial producers, your marketing is to the extent of bringing them to the sale barn. But there are more and more commercial producers that are participating in some of the value-added programs, the net bio type programs, where I've given you a shout-out back there, Bo. Some of these value-added programs where not only are you keeping your calves beyond weaning, but retained ownership type deal, value-added backgrounding type things. So being able to say, you know, these cattle were born during this date range, they've had these health treatments, they've had this protocol followed, can help you get additional additional money for your cattle, depending on your programs. We've had folks that will go to a sale barn and say, here are these animals and here are their medical treatments. And that can, depending on your buyers, can add additional value to you. So that can help on that marketing side. As far as the registered producers go, having good records on the marketing can be helpful in knowing, what did, daughters out of this cow sell far previously. Wanting to know the pedigree, EPD, performance data, having all those good records where when a buyer is out on the ranch, touring the ranch, looking at cattle, and you can pull up an animal and so here's her production history, here are her EPDs, and having all that data in front of you. It's been really neat. When the iPads came out years ago, it was really fascinating to see how some of our registered operations started using iPads to help market their cattle. They would just hand the customer an iPad, and as they're driving in the pasture, and that's an interesting cow, and let's look her up, and you see the details. So having those good records there can really help add some value. And finally, one that I really feel strong about is the improved decision-making. And when you have the accurate information, and it's up to date, and it's on time, and it's complete, and it's organized, and it's in one place, it also enables you to make better decision-making. So when it comes down to culling decisions, when it comes to decisions of am I ready to wean my calves or do I keep them out a little bit longer? What kind of animals do I need to buy? Do I need to be holding heifers back? Are my cows getting too old and I need to look at maybe retaining some more heifers or buying some more? All those kind of decisions are going to require good information. And that's really where having that good record-keeping system comes in. This is a quote that a friend, some of y'all may have known years ago, Lewis Martin said, and this is something that really is a driving factor in any time that we talk to producers about record keeping. And the quote goes, "A record keeping system without reporting and analysis is simply an electronic file cabinet." And that's something that we feel really strongly about when it comes to record keeping. Sure, you need a file cabinet, electronic file cabinet, when it comes to keeping purchases and sales for tax reasons. But when you start talking about information like preg checks and breeding and weaning and calving, you don't want to just lock it away in an electronic file cabinet. You want to be able to use that information to make decisions, to improve your bottom line, and to help take your operation forward. You mentioned a while ago the question on the DNA. And that's something that we've been really trying to work with on the genetics companies and producers is how can we help producers, commercial producers, take DNA data and do more than just store it? And how can they take that DNA data and use that to help make decisions that drive breeding, that drive culling, that drive replacement decision making? And that's where we're working on right now because we want more than just that file cabinet. So that's where we talk about getting more out of your data. And there's several different areas, getting more out of your data. Some of that could be something as simple as calculating additional values based on the data you enter in. So what I mean by that is you've got a good set of scales, and you go out and you weigh your calves at weaning, and you get a weaning weight. Okay, that's great. What more can you get with a weaning weight? Weaning weight is helpful to some degree, but it's a bit of an apples and oranges when you're trying to compare weaning weight of one calf to another. Sure, this one's heavier and it's going to sell for more, but this calf over here was a heifer, or this calf was born 3 weeks earlier, or this calf was born by first calf heifer or an old cow. You get apples and oranges, and that's where being able to have calculations like taking that actual weaning weight and using the Beef Improvement Federation's formula, calculate an adjusted weaning weight. So you go from an apples and oranges number of two calf weaning weights to an apples and apples comparison of two calves weaning weights. And that's how you can start making decisions there. Another thing that's really helpful too is when you do have these apples and apples adjusted weaning weights of your calves is being able to know, okay, how did this cow and her calf do relative to the rest of the herd right now? So you may have had 20 cows that calve, and you have your adjusted weaning weights on all these calves. But how did they rank? Last year we may have been in a drought, so all of my weights were down. This year we may have had a nutrition change or some herd health change, and our weights across the board may be up. So I want to know how that animal ranked within my herd. And that's where we call it contemporary groups, and your ratios can help out. How did this calf do compared to the average? So you can start getting a lot more data and a lot more information out of that. A really neat number, and y'all, I know there's been a lot of talk this weekend on cow size, and how big cow, small cow, heavy milker, light milker. A really helpful number is this right here. It's called percent dam weight. And what percent dam weight is when you take the weight of the cow at weaning, and when she's weaning her calf, and you take the calf's weight at weaning, and the percentage. What percentage of that cow's weight did the calf weigh? So calf weight over dam weight, and that's a percent dam weight. And that's a really good number for efficiency. And if you've got a 1,500-pound cow that's weaning a small calf, an 1,200-pound heifer that's weaning a calf the same weight, that 1,200-pound cow is a whole lot more efficient than the 1,400- or 1,500-pound cow. So being able to kind of take your data that you've been collecting and be able to get some of these additional calculations so that you can start making some decisions out of that. And there's so many of these different performance numbers out there, and that's something that, and I don't want to get into all the details with a lot of new folks here, but it's really more about working with your veterinarian or maybe your herd advisor, maybe the registered breeder who's supplying your genetics, even reaching out to us and letting us know what kind of operation do you have and what are your management goals. And that's where kind of knowing what numbers would work best for you. But those calculations are a good benefit of, good reward. Once we have these calculations and the ratios that we talked about, we also have reports and worksheets. And when you start thinking about getting information out, it's not just a, what did this calf wean for, but I want to know how did a cow, has she done over her lifetime since she's been on the ranch? What has she done over the last few years for me? How many calves has she weaned? What did those calves weigh? What did they sell for? When was she calving? Was she calving at the beginning of the calving season, at the end? What's her average calving interval? How long is it taking her to have another calf? A lot of those numbers of essentially a report card on a specific cow, when you can pull up that animal's record and see all of those details. And then you can also have just your herd level. I got them out of order, but your herd level, how did my herd do as a whole, one animal per row, a spreadsheet type view, or drilling into individual animals and knowing how they do. And that's something that I think we're going to talk about Excel right here in a minute. We'll save for that. So we talked again on the reports, individual animals on the herd level. We talked about the accounting and purchase reports. So you can see that you may be entering your data in one time and into one place, but let that data work for you. Get those calculations and make sure you're calculating something, doing something with that data and getting more information. And then when it comes to the reporting, make sure you're getting that information out of your record-keeping system, not just turning it into an electronic file cabinet. A question we get asked often, and we see a lot of folks that are trying to figure out about record-keeping systems, and it's sort of what system works best. There's paper, there's spreadsheet, and then there's software. Out of curiosity in here, I know they had some kind of text message voting. I wasn't sure how that worked, and I knew that if I broke my phone out, I'd start checking my own text messages. A quick just show of hands, how many of you are keeping paper records right now? All right. How many of you are keeping spreadsheet records? Okay. How many of you are using some type of cattle-specific software for records? All right. So mostly paper records, some spreadsheet, and some cattle software. When you start looking at the different record-keeping options, paper is what it is. It's free. You can go down to the trade show and get you free pens and free notebooks. Paper is also a little bit more challenging to keep backed up, to share with others, to keep everything organized. Paper, though, is a good medium sometimes for collecting something out in the field and then entering it into the computer later on. So it has its purpose. But as far as a long-term store, keeping information long-term on paper, it tends to run into just limitations of you collect all this data, you tag your animals, you write it all down, but then it's difficult to get these calculations we talked about. It's difficult to get the herd-level reports we talked about. And it's also difficult to get the individual animal performance that we talked about. So you tend to run into some of those limitations with paper. And a lot of that does carry over into spreadsheets where it's a great way for storing data. And spreadsheets make great electronic file cabinets. And if you're only keeping track of maybe just a basic herd inventory, then spreadsheets may work for you. But where spreadsheets quickly get out of hand is after several years, and you start going horizontally, adding more and more columns. And then you get past Z, and you get into A and additional columns, and it goes way out, and you're having to scroll sideways. And then as you start, you have a calf that you keep her back as a replacement heifer, and she's now a cow. And then that now cow has a calf, and you're trying to link everything back. And these are sold, and then this one isn't. And it quickly becomes just a giant ball of spaghetti in a hurry as you start to go a little bit more in depth with spreadsheets. So we find a lot of folks that will start out with spreadsheets just as I'm going to keep my cattle inventory. But then as it starts to grow over time, it quickly becomes a little bit more of a handful to keep up with. And when it becomes more of a handful to keep up with, then we start to get into a lot of those record-keeping challenges, and it takes time, and you're less likely to keep it up to date, and you're also making it difficult to get reports out. And that's where those electronic file cabinets come about. Any questions so far? Doing all right? Okay. I have about 10 minutes left. I will talk a little bit on technologies and record keeping, just a few technologies, but I want to make sure I get all the questions covered so far and everybody's feel like we've understood, why do we keep records? What are our different records to keep track of? What does it cost to get started with record keeping? And then what are some of the benefits once we've got our record keeping system online? So got a few minutes left. I'll kind of skip around on some of these. But one of the things I always like to encourage everybody to think about is, this is the way we made hay many years ago, but this is the way we do now. And so, technology has improved dramatically with most activities we do on the farm and ranch. But it still is amazing that a lot of folks that are still using paper records when there's incredible technology available to help you with record keeping. So that's something to encourage, and it's not just to keep computer records to store the data, but rather enter your information into a software so you can easily get those reports out, so you can make decisions for your own farm needs, so you can easily have your information you need for your tax preparation, if you work with any herd advisors, your veterinarian, and so forth. So really try to take advantage of this low-cost technology out there to really help your ranch be a little bit more profitable. One of the really neat things too, we've talked about some throughout, is just entering data in the field as it happens. Rather than keeping things on paper and letting it stack up, enter it as it happens. One of the neatest things that we've seen, we first saw over a decade ago, was when producers were start taking iPads and tablets out in the field and entering the data as it happens, as they're moving cattle, record calvings in the field, rather than having to wait till you get back to the office. And in doing that, you get back to the office and you're done. There's no more chores, no more task of extensive record keeping and data entry that's involved. You've entered it as it's happened. And another neat thing, and we've talked about, having records that are easily understood by others. And how can we make that information where, if there's several of you on the ranch, if it's couples, if it's parents and children, if it's employees and owners, making sure everybody has access to the same information. Back to the cowboy, the colorblind cowboy with the duplicate tag numbers. That's a real challenge, but you can get that kind of stuff under control when maybe it's the ranch secretary or the ranch manager goes, wait, something's going on here. What happened, cowboy? And so you're more of this collaboration around the records rather than a single person being responsible for the record keeping. And that gets back into using by owners, managers, employees, and spouses, but also with your accountants, advisors, and so forth. And one of the neat things that has really enabled all of this sharing of information is going to be something like our CattleMax software that's cloud-based, where all you need is a web browser and you can log in to do that. But also a really neat software. CattleMax does great on production records, but QuickBooks is just the industry standard when it comes to accounting. And there's Quicken in some of these really basic accounting packages. But when you're in the cattle business and you're running your ranch as a business, it's critical that you have a good accounting system in place, and that's really where something like QuickBooks comes in. QuickBooks is now cloud-based also, and one of the really nice benefits of that is you can work with your accountant throughout the year so that you can record purchases and sales, and your accountant has access to that information rather than waiting until the end of the year. It's been a really neat technology there. There's just a screenshot, a little bit older screenshot of QuickBooks. We've talked a little bit on measuring earlier, and one of the really nice things now that TrueTest, Gallagher, and a few of these other digital scale companies, they have where these scales have keypads on them. And you can also connect an RFID scanner. So we talk about increasing efficiencies, making it easy on ourselves to keep records. And that's where some of these digital scales can come in, where you hook the scales up under your chute or in your alleyway, the animal steps on, and you RFID scan or manually key in the tag number. Once you do that and press save, it's easy to download that information back into your record-keeping system or into a spreadsheet. So rather than having to have somebody with clean hands standing off in the distance, writing down cow 100 and her weight, and then later re-entering that into a computer, is you let the digital scale collect that data for you. It makes it really easy to save some time and be more efficient along the way. And the same thing goes for RFID. RFID tends to be a little bit more common in larger operations, but rather than having to hand write or hand type in numbers, is you simply just scan the animal's RFID tag. And that can really save a lot of time there and a lot of efficiency, at least when it comes to larger operations. It's the same reason that grocery stores use a UPC scanner instead of manually typing in the price. So it just really helps increase those efficiencies there. So at this point, we're just about out of time. I have a couple minutes left, and I'll be glad to take some questions. Yes, ma'am. That's exactly it. That's exactly it. When it comes to the cattle side of things, most cattle use ear tags, the visual tag that we've all used for, you know, since, you know, for a very long time. Some producers are also adding in an electronic ID, which is about the size of a 50-cent piece, a little bit thicker, and it's a scanner that has about a 12 to 18 inch read range. So you can see. Exactly. And it needs to. It's our software is compatible with it. And other softwares are too. Fortunately, there is an industry, an ISO or industry standard when it comes to it. So Allflex makes great RFID tags and readers. There's other companies that do, but they will talk to each other. So if you have an Allflex reader and a Ytex tag, well, they can scan and interact with each other since they're on that standard. That's a really great question. Years ago, some of you may have known Dr. McGran in the Ag Extension, who's since retired. Stan Beavers was in here a few minutes ago. He and I both learned under Dr. McGran. Stan with a degree and me more on the business side. And there was a national spa database that could do exactly what you're talking about. There were various KPIs or key performance indicators, and you could benchmark your herd. And with Dr. McGran's retirement and Stan's retirement, that's really, it was a very complex process to get up and going. And so it's not something that really had a significant level of traction. But we've taken some of the concepts from the SPA analysis, created some of our own key performance indicators, borrowed some from SPA to where we have in CattleMax now. And the next step with that does evolve, get into benchmarking. You know, and it's not so much what other people's data as much as it's, you know, I want to opt in. I want to know how do I stand on pounds weaned per exposed female, calving percentage, pregnancy percentage compared to, maybe it's Angus operations, maybe it's folks in your region, maybe it's both. You know, so that's something that we've also been working with the Alabama Beef Cattle Improvement Association, and they have a group of commercial producers, and they're doing that very kind of thing as far as a benchmarking within a group. So that's definitely something on our time frame. And if you want to know more about it, I'd be glad to kind of keep you updated on the status and show you how you can look at some of the early stages of that. Had a question back there. Is that right? Is there a question in the back? Maybe they slipped out. Okay. I'll go for you. CattleMax is cloud-based, and so it does require internet connectivity. We are working on some offline data functionality that would allow, say, if you have data on your scale head, whether it's weights or whether it may be breeding or treatment information, being able to pull that into CattleMax once you get back into connectivity. So that's, it requires online right now for all of that data, but we are working on some of the external connectivity with the scale indicators. What we find a lot of folks that will do that if they happen to be somewhere without internet is they'll just print out a worksheet from CattleMax that has the animal details filled in and then some blank boxes for calf tag, birth date, calf sex, and they'll just fill out those worksheets and transfer them into the computer later. Yes, sir. We have a bulk ad type feature for that, but you and I visited some, and I know the level of extension that you're working in, and that's probably the spreadsheet type capability that I was talking about is what you're going to be looking for. We had a long talk yesterday, probably 20 minutes on programmer to programmer on all the tech stuff. So we're working on some stuff that would allow kind of to bring in data from various data sources, parse it, clean it up, and then import it in there. What we've found that some folks that want to keep track of, okay, which animals have we run through the chute and that type of thing, is that they will use an RFID scanner or even just a manual list and get a list of the cattle either from their RFID reader, from their scale head, or that they've manually written down and use that to create a group. Go into CattleMax and say, I want to create a group from these tag numbers and then run our what we call a group update process where you can select the animals and enter the treatment and continue forward on that. It's a great question. Any more questions? Yes, sir. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's a good... No, that's a really good question on that. CattleMax has an income and expense area. It's one that you know I have that is in there reluctantly. It's in there for those who are not small or are not large enough or who choose not to use QuickBooks. But really, if you are using QuickBooks, which I highly recommend, it took many years for we conceded and put in basic income and expense tracking because it's not a substitute for QuickBooks. But what you'll tend to find in CattleMax is you're going to have your individual animal purchases. You're going to have your individual animal sales, the dates, the weights, who you sold to. And that's a lot of detailed sale information. Whereas in QuickBooks, you're going to have a sale ticket. And that sale ticket may be these animals purchased, these sold, and so forth. So QuickBooks doesn't have the extensive animal detail that CattleMax has, and vice versa on the accounting side. So when it comes to entering the data, you would not use the income and expense function in CattleMax. You'd use that for QuickBooks. And so really the only, I would say, duplicate enter you would be when you're selling animals or purchasing them. And you'd set them up in CattleMax for the purchase and sales for management. Then also you would enter them into QuickBooks for your balance sheet, depreciation schedule, and that type. And what we found, too, is that each ranch has its own different set of chart of accounts and their own set of classes and how they separate raised and purchased and by breed and enterprise and all that. Good question. Got any more questions? I know this is the very last session of the day, and I'm the only thing keeping you all from the door, so I appreciate everybody hanging around. Appreciate the questions. We'll also be down in the trade show area, and I'll be around here until everybody else leaves the room, so I'll be glad to answer any questions. Thanks again for your time.